Psalm 67. You know, sometimes as we're going through a book study, I know what I'm going to be preaching on, and the Lord always burns my heart about whatever it is. But I'm just going to tell you, throughout this week, even last night, sometimes I feel like a fire hydrant has been connected to me, and I can only get out so much at a time. And so if you'll strap in today, we'll get in as much as we can before we have to finish. But I'm excited about the Lord's doing here through our missions program. I'm excited about the potential that we have. Some of the things we talked about yesterday at the men's meeting. I will tell you this. We're going to talk more about the possibility and the transition of the Lockharts on Thursday night. And we're not going to be broadcasting that night. And so you want to be here if you don't already know what's going on. And so there's just exciting things. You'll see God's fingerprint all over that thing. And we announced yesterday the possibility and the direction of bringing on an assistant. And so something that I'm very excited about and the potential there. And we're going to be voting on that come December, but something that we were praying about. I'm not going to go through it all again. I'd love to talk to you afterwards if you have questions about that. But I'm just thrilled at what God is doing in and through Maranatha Baptist Church. So when I say that, sometimes we think, you know, we open up the website and a lot of times the first thing you see is the building. And some people think of that as Maranatha Baptist Church. That couldn't be the first thing from the truth. Excuse me, that is the furthest thing from the truth, all right? The truth of the matter is, the person sitting next to you, the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you, and you are the ones that make up Maranatha Baptist Church. And so when I talk about what God is doing in and through Maranatha Baptist Church, what I'm saying is what God is doing in you and through you. And so when we look at Psalm 67 today, let's go ahead and read through it. We're going to read the whole psalm. We're, Lord willing, cover the entire psalm today. I know some of you get heart failure when I talk about that, but I'm going to tell you, if you're not there already, there's only seven verses. And Lord willing, we'll get through that. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I wonder how many of you here today know your blood type. I'm just going to take a little informal poll. Everybody here know their blood type? I look around. I'd say probably about 30%. Do you know in Japan, over 90% of the people know their blood type, but it's not for really the reason you might think of. You see, you ought to know what type of blood you have because it could save your life one day, or it could save somebody else's life. I happen to be an O, O negative. And a crowd this size, there's about 11 of us. I know 6 of them. Because 7% of the population have O negative. Most of you either have O positive or A positive. 38% for O positive, 34% have, 38% is O positive, 34% is A positive, and then it drops off drastically after that. B positive is 9%, O negative is 7%, A negative is 6%, B negative is 2%, and AB negative is 1%. I think I left one off. AB positive is 3%. Anybody here, just out of curiosity, know for sure they have AB negative? Anybody at all? Somebody does, and the crowd's this size, statistically speaking. All right? Now, we don't know that to be fact, but over in Japan, people know their blood type not so that it could save somebody's life or not because it is some important information that they could use for health reasons, but because they view their blood type the same way that many in America view their zodiac or astrological signs, which, by the way, no Christian should ever be involved in. Listen, when you read your horoscope, let me just there's a little free thing here. When you read your horoscope, what you're saying is that God is omniscient. Is God is not omniscient, and God is not almighty or omnipotent. You're saying, listen, I'm going to trust the stars to give me advice rather than God's word. All right, that's free. File that away. Next time you're tempted, think, oh, you know what? God's not going to be pleased with that. I hope you're not even tempted. But that's what they do with their blood type. They believe each blood type has different characteristics that correlate to personality traits. Listen, I know this is ridiculous. I don't make this stuff up. I just report it, okay? But they take it to the extremes. They have blood type-related products, and it's a booming industry in Japan. In 2008, the top four selling books in the country were manuals for people with specific blood types, one for each possibility. There are soft drinks tailored to people with different blood types. For instance, the AB drinks have extra magnesium in it as a way to decrease the drinker's stress and play into their blood-borne strengths. Listen, they take it so far as to discriminate some people with certain blood types. They believe that type O is a warrior type, and almost all of the professional baseball players in Japan have type O blood, with the exception of Ichiro Suzuki, who has broken some records in baseball, but he is an oddity there. Japanese culture sees those O type, those warriors, as competitive, and if a player does not have that blood type, it is hard to sell the fans on his skill set if they've never seen him play before. And so they would discriminate based on that criteria. As a matter of fact, this discrimination has its own name, the Buruhara. I'm sure that's not even close to the right pronunciation, but just trust me, they have a name for it. And it's led to the denying of jobs and even playground bullying. It's absolutely ridiculous. Listen, if you sign up for social media there, a Facebook account, using the Japanese interface, you'll have to put in all the same information, your name and this, that, and the other, but you'll also see a drop-down menu for your blood type so you can tell everybody what category you fall into. I'm going to tell you, that's the same way with a lot of Christians. No, I'm not saying we are using our blood types to discriminate toward one another or to bully one another, but I do believe that we have a very important knowledge that we are misusing. We have information that has been given to us that we are misappropriating, if you will. Now, I know many of you jump right immediately to salvation, and that may be true, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to redirect your thoughts for just a second on the blessings that God gives us. This morning I want to preach a message that I've entitled The Basis of God's Brilliant Blessings. The Basis of God's Brilliant Blessings. Listen, we need to be careful and understand that God gives us blessings for a purpose. For a purpose. And so number one, I want to talk about the providence of God's blessings. When we realize that we don't deserve God's blessings, when we realize that God is the originator of all his blessings, as a matter of fact, let me give you a sub-point here. I want to talk about the builder of God's blessings. See, many times in a Christian life, we think, boy, we're saved by grace. Nothing we can do can save us. Praise God. That's Bible. That's truth. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. All we have to do is realize that we can't save ourselves and see Christ as the Savior, and guess what? We can have eternal life. We have that right as Baptists. We have that right as believers. We understand that there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. But it seems to me like we get this idea that all the blessings, all the good things that we have that come into our life, we deserve. And I tell you why. That's part of our culture. There's a part of our culture that says, if you work hard, you deserve success. Well, I teach that to my kids. I'm not saying that's unbiblical even. I'm not even saying that's wrong, because we want to learn how to have a good work ethic. We want to learn what it is to put in a full day's work. We want to learn what it is to do our best for God, right? Those things are good, but understand this. When we get a blessing, it's not because we've earned it. It's because God is good. I want you to look at the first verse here. It says, God, be merciful to us and bless us. Listen, who is building the blessing here? Is it us or is it God? I want you to understand that every blessing that we have is based on the very mercy and grace of God. That word mercy there is translated, I think it's 13 other places, as gracious. It's a grace, God's grace. And so the very foundation or origin of any blessing that we have is God's grace, and that is simply God giving us something we don't deserve. Everything we have that's good in our lives is a blessing from God. You didn't earn it, you didn't work for it any more than you could earn or work for your salvation. James spells that out for us. I think it's in chapter 1. I always get ahead of my own outline, but I know I have it in here. Who knows the verse? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. Listen, it doesn't say most every good gift, most every perfect gift. It doesn't say some of the things you've earned. It doesn't say a little bit of God's blessing is from God. Listen, God builds the blessings that he wants to give to us, and then he delivers them. God is good. God, be merciful, be gracious unto us, and bless us. Now, when we talk about this blessing, who's the beneficiary? Well, be careful. This is the most important point I'm going to make today. You say, already? You're 3 minutes into your message and you're going to give us the most important point? I thought you had to wait for the last. Well, we're going to build on it. But I'm going to just run right to the end of the message and say, you are not the beneficiary of God's blessings. Because if you're the final beneficiary of God's blessing, you've missed the purpose of God's blessing. You see, the first thing I want you to see is the providence of God's blessing. He chooses who he wants to bless. Now, the truth of the matter is we understand that obedience does bring blessing, but God decides when and where and how he's going to bless us. By the way, there's a lot of different kind of blessings that God can give to us if we'll open our eyes. So I want you to see that God is not only the builder of God's blessing, but I want you to see the beneficiary of God's blessing. Let me point out something in this psalm. 14 different times God is referenced in this passage of Scripture. I'll run through it very quickly. Verse 1 says, God, be merciful. It says, cause his face to shine upon us. Verse 2, that thy way may be known and thy saving health among the nations. Verse 3, praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. And then it goes on where am I? Verse 3, for thou shalt judge. Verse 5, that the people praise thee, O God, praise thee. Verse 6, and God, even our God, bless us. God shall bless us and shall fear him. Time and time and time again, everything that we read about this passage of Scripture is focusing and bringing our attention back to God, not the blessings, but the originator of those blessings. How many times has good things happened to us and we say, yes! So happy that happened. Or we might even use the phrase, praise the Lord. But that's not where our heart or our mind is. Our heart and mind are upon the goodies that we've just gotten. Whatever it might be. Listen, I think we ought to get excited about blessings. Hey, praise the Lord. God gives you a car. Man, you ought to sing praises the rest of your life about that. God gives you a good deal on some hamburger meat at the grocery store. Listen, I think you ought to praise God about that. You say, that's silly. No, that's recognizing God's blessings in your life. Think about where you're born and the blessings and the privileges that God has given to us simply by being Americans. You ought to praise God and thank Him for that. We take it all for granted. And the problem is, so often we move away from recognizing God as the builder and the source of our blessings, and we start to think that we deserve God's blessing. Let me tell you what happens. When you think you start, or when you believe you deserve God's blessings, you will no longer be thankful for any of His blessings. Boy, when we're unthankful, when we're ungrateful, when we fail to see God as the originator and the source and the builder of our blessings, we start thinking something of ourselves. I've worked hard for this house. I've worked hard for these cars. I've worked hard for the things in my closet. I've worked hard for the jewelry. Listen, everything, every good gift, everything that is good in our lives comes from God. Now, I'm focusing a little bit on material things right now, because I think it talks about some material things at the end. Understand that this psalm is set up with a chiastic format. You say, what is that? It means the first and second verse correlate to the sixth and seventh verse. If you notice, verses 3 and 5 are exactly the same. And verse 4 is the hinge verse, or what I think of as the apex of the entire psalm. So I want you to see not only the providence of God's blessings with the builder of God's blessing and the beneficiary of God's blessing. Let me finish that thought then. It says, listen, be merciful to us and bless us. Cause His face to shine upon us. And then in verse 6 it says, God shall bless us. God shall bless us. What does it mean for God's face to shine upon us? How many of you wish you had that rich uncle who would just write that check that's going to take care of all your financial woes? If somebody were to be able to do that for you, you'd say, oh, their face is shining towards us. It means God's divine hand of blessing, or looking upon us favorably. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. But what is the purpose of that blessing? Listen, if you think that you are the final destination of your blessing, you're going to miss out on being a blessing. Do you understand? If you think that you are the final destination for the things that God has given you, you're going to miss out on God's purpose and plan for worldwide missions. You see, God has not blessed you just so you can accumulate more stuff. I get in trouble every time I say this, but I just have a hard time understanding why we have come to a place where there are buildings, rows upon rows upon rows of buildings that we rent to hold our junk. We can't hold it in our own house anymore. We've got to rent a place to hold this junk. I'm just saying, we've been so greatly, abundantly blessed, but what we do with it is accumulate. We are missing God's purpose. So, number one, I want you to see the providence of God's blessing. The beneficiary of God's blessing should be all nations. We'll talk more about that, but I didn't want to leave that unanswered. Number two, I only have 2 points today. Praise the Lord. But I have at least 3 subpoints and 2 sub-subpoints. Number two, what is the purpose of God's blessing? What is the purpose of God's blessing? If you think that God's blessing in your life, if all the good things that He gives you is just to make you happy, you've missed it. Just to make you comfortable, you've missed it. And let me tell you, you've missed out on God's true blessings then. Because temporal blessings, financial blessings, material blessings, that's just the tip of the iceberg. When you talk about the abundant life that God has promised, that's not material things, that's the spiritual life. All right, so then what is the purpose? Number one, to propagate the gospel. Sorry, letter number A, because we're on number two. To propagate the gospel. Look at verse 2 with me, if you will. That thy way may be known upon the earth. What is that way? Now understand, this is the great thing about Scripture. It's amazing to me as I read these Scriptures. It had one complete meaning to the Jewish people that would have read this at the time. But God in His wisdom and in His power and in His omnipotence has a deeper level now for believers. Doesn't mean it changes the meaning, but I'm saying it's kind of like looking through those back doors, you see a little window, and I can see a car go by once in a while. But when you throw those doors open, I can see what kind of car and what color it is, and I can describe that thing. I'm just saying we have a deeper understanding now through the understanding of the Holy Spirit and the furtherance of God's revelation found in the New Testament. So don't think that I am ratcheting or twisting this to mean something that God did not mean for it to intend, that the writer might have not fully understood what he was writing. But the Holy Spirit did. And so as we see that the way may be known, certainly the writer of this psalm could have thought about how God's reputation was going forth to the nations. You know, it's always been God's plan. Missions has always been God's heartbeat. How in the world can you explain somebody like Rahab the harlot being in the lineage of Christ if it was not God's intention for all the nations to know who he is? Boy, when I think about the people there of Jericho not knowing, or excuse me, that they knew who God was before those spies ever came, his reputation had already gone forth. It has always been God's program to reach out to the nations. There are provisions set forth in the law for those that have proselytized to Judaism, or really to be believers of the one true God. Why? Because it's always been God's heartbeat to see nations come to a saving faith. Listen, why did God wait 400 years before they sent the children, children of Israel in? I believe he was giving them time to trust in Jehovah God. God's program hasn't changed. Just the information he's given to us has. So it says that thy way. Isn't it interesting when we talk about God's reputation maybe to the Jewish believer, but what about to New Testament believers today? Time and time and time again in the New Testament, what is Christianity called? What was it called before they were called Christians? They were called in the way, that the way might be understood. It's at least 4 or 5 times in Acts alone. But more than that, who do we know to be the way? Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we think about what the purpose of our blessings is, that it thy way may be known upon the earth. I read somewhere that... Where did I read that? An old Jewish commentary interprets God's face to be that of the Messiah. And so they interpreted the prayer of Psalm 67:1, where his face to shine upon us, to be for the advent of the Messiah to his people and his manifestation to all the worlds. And so God's face would shine on his people in the person of Christ, who is the brightness of his glory and the express person of his image. And so we see in verse 1 that is God's will for his blessings to be propagating the gospel, telling the nations who that Messiah is, that thy way may be known upon the earth. But it goes on, and that thy saving health among some of the nations. Oh, not supposed to add, take away, or change. Better make sure I get that right. It's to all nations, to every nation. We don't get to choose who we share the gospel with. We're not some kind of great spiritual lottery company that says, okay, you deserve the gospel, but you don't. All nations are to hear the gospel. That phrase right there, saving health, it's really translated from one word, and it's a word that is translated several other places in the Bible as salvation, but it's also translated Joshua, Yeshua. You know what? Jesus is the Greek translation of that Yeshua, Joshua. And so when we see that thy way, thy saving way, shall be known upon the earth, and that Yeshua, Jesus, shall be heard among all nations. That's the purpose of God's blessing. So I want to just hit pause. I may have to put pause at the end of the message today and finish tonight. I don't know. But think about the blessings that God has given to you. Not just the spiritual blessings. We'll hit that in just a second, but the material blessings. How are you using those to be a blessing to all nations so that they can hear about the way of Christ, that they can hear about Jesus, the Savior? Well, my friends, listen, it's not just something that we should be thinking about for 1 week out of the year. It should be a lifestyle. It ought to be something that consumes us as Christians. If God is the originator of the blessings that He's given us, but His purpose in giving us those blessings is to propagate the gospel, are we being obedient to His calling in our lives? Now, I like to use humor in preaching. It breaks the tension. Sometimes it helps to drive home a thought. And I'd just like to see y'all smile all at the same time once in a while. But like one preacher told his congregation, it might be time to put in your nitroglycerin because that might be the last time you smile through this message. Because I'm going to tell you, we as Americans, we are greedy, and we are selfish, and we are self-centered, and we see ourselves as the stopping point of God's blessing. Listen, don't ask me. I'll give to missions. I'll give something to salve my conscience. But don't ask me to give up my latte on Tuesdays. Listen, I'll pass on some of the blessings that God gives to me, but don't expect it to change my life in any way. Because I'm enjoying the blessings that God has given. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, we can't live our lives that way and be obedient to God. Hey, I'll just tell you, God put me over a barrel as I was looking at this. I'm not coming here from a position of strength. I'm coming from the same position you are, looking at what God has given and asking myself, listen, what can I do to pass the blessings on that God has given to me? It may mean holding on to a vehicle another year or two. It may mean not going out to eat quite as often as we'd like. What does sacrifice mean to you? If God is the originator of the blessings and He has told us to pass these blessings on for the express purpose of propagating the gospel, are we being obedient? We need to be. If we're going to be obedient, we need to be caring, then we need to be sharing, and then we will be bearing those precious seed. Psalm 126, verse 6, one of the greatest missionary passages of the Old Testament, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Do you care about the lost? Are you willing to share the blessings that God has given you so that you can bear that precious seed and come back rejoicing in seeing what God has done? Now, the truth of the matter is not everyone in here is called to go to a foreign missions. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, every year I get a burden. I say, God, do you want us to go? I want to be willing if He does call us. But I know He has us here for such a time as this. But I'll tell you this, if you are not going, you must be sending. No one's exempt. No believer is exempt from either going or sending. Now, some of you may be saying, whew, I can just give and the pressure is off. No. We'd be going in our community. Every one of us, in a sense, is a missionary. But not every one of us is a missionary to a foreign country. But if we're going to obey the Great Commission, not only to our Jerusalem, but to our Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, we've got to be sending. So either you are going or you are giving. There's no middle road. Now here's the problem. Here's what's not so funny, my friends, is that many of us are making our faith promise payment to Visa because we've lived higher than what God has given to us. And rather than having the liberty to be able to give, we are surrounded and crushed and bound by this debt that prevents us from being able to do what God has wanted us to do. Listen, we should have been giving up the lattes a long time ago so that we could have the freedom and liberty to give what God wants us to give. Have you ever had that feeling to say, oh, listen, God, I'd give it if I have it, but I've got to send this check in. We can't live like that. We cannot continue going in that direction and expect this world to change to be able to pass on the blessings because we have to have this now rather than waiting for God to give it to us. When's the last time that you prayed about a future purchase or a major purchase? When's the last time you asked God to give it to you rather than pursuing it yourself because you just had to have it? I'm not saying new things are wrong. I'm not saying having something that is nice is wrong. But what I'm saying is when you've got to go into debt to get it, it's wrong. Period. We pray to Visa to provide for our needs. I don't know, I shouldn't say that, but we certainly rely on Visa and MasterCard rather than trusting the Lord. I guess it will be finishing tonight. Are you being obedient? Am I being obedient? We need to be. Let me just bring this down to a practical level. There's a lot of things that Maranatha could do in this community and around the world. But it's going to take sacrifice from each and every one of us. We don't look for the one percenters to fulfill God's mission. It's 100 percenters. Don't think somebody else is going to pick up the slack that only you could do. Ask God and begin to beg God now. God, what do you want me to give? Is my desire to lower what the general offering is giving to Faith Promise again this year? We lowered it by 3% last year. I want to lower it another 2%. Why? That's going to free up the money that we need in order to bring on an assistant. You see, you preachers are always talking about money. But if you come here with any regularity, you know something I only preach on when God brings it up. But if I don't preach on it, I'm derelict in my duties. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And our hearts too often are with our closets, in our cars, in our curio cabinets, and all the other things that we like to collect, rather than with the hearts of those that need the gospel. I don't sit here and point my finger at you, but I want the Holy Spirit to shine a bright spotlight in our lives so we can be honest with God about our commitment to reaching the lost with the gospel. There's no higher calling. There's no higher calling. Let's be obedient and ensure that the blessings do not stop with us. Let's pray that God would use us to reach the world in our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, be merciful. Every good thing comes from God, and bless us. That's the blessings that He gives out of His mercy and cause His face, His divine hand of blessing, to shine upon us. That, or because of, or to, I should say, thy way may be known upon the earth. and thy saving health among all nations. Caring, sharing, and then bearing. It has to be in that order. We have to have a heart for the lost. Then we need to be willing to sacrifice to ensure they get the gospel so we can sow the seeds and come again rejoicing. Only you can do what God wants you to do. But you can do what God wants you to do. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you.